The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Distinguished Rabbonim, Rebbetzins, our distinguished guests of honor, the Mushmachim, and their families, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our 13th annual Rosh Chodesh dinner. The topic for this evening that you heard from our very esteemed friend, Advocate Nati Siegel, is Derech Eretz. What happened to Derech Eretz? Firstly, this is a very, very important topic because this is something which is quickly disappearing from the face of the earth. And this is something which affects not only the secular world, but even the Jewish world also. And not only the Leidati, not only the non-religious Jewish world, but the religious Jewish world also. And I had the great privilege to study by the Lithuanian Rosh Hashivas, Telza Rosh Hashivas. I've had the privilege to see many others. I saw there a different brand of Torah and of Judaism, which was founded very strongly on this Derech Eretz that we're speaking of. And this evening, let's look into this through the eyes of our sages. We see that our sages lump many, many different things under the category of Derech Eretz. For example, Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, the obligation to take care of oneself, his physical body, and naturally his physical life. Nikiyas HaGuf, personal cleanliness and hygiene, Malbushev, that he should be well dressed and well groomed. Panoso, that he should work for a living, his particular malocha, and how he should take care of his finances. His conduct with his wife, his immediate family, his extended family, and in society in general. Table manners, Nimusi Ayishuv, social manners, protocol, etiquette, and so on and so on. Why is it that we have so many different things all lumped under the general category of Derech Eretz? The great Maral Prague, the rabbi of Prague, explains as follows, to quote Advocate Siegel. Two great wisdoms HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world. One was the wisdom of the Torah. And there was a wisdom and a decree how a person is supposed to live his life. And the Torah comes from the Olam HaElyon, from higher worlds. And therefore this is a supreme wisdom, an elevated wisdom, a chokhma ha'elyona. And this guides the person because a person comes also from such a world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he placed in him a soul which comes from such worlds. This is the level of Torah. Another great wisdom he gave to the world, this is a chokhma hatachtona. This is a wisdom of the lower world. How a person should conduct himself on this world, on the earthly world, because he is also made from this world, and he lives in this world. He's a dore mato, not a dore mala. He lives here, not in Himmel, not in the heavens. He's a man, and not a malach, not an angel. And this also is a gzera, a decree, how a person has to guide himself. And with these two wisdoms, he can come to a totality, the Chochma Elyona and the Chochma Hatachtona. And from this we understand why there are so many different, various subjects that the sages lump under the general term of Derech Eretz, because these are what a person has to know and has to do because he's a human being of flesh and blood. Many of the things that we are referring to, and we will go into this evening, this is to refine a person, make a gentleman of him, make a person, make him into a person who would be someone who can live together well with other people. But others of the things that we're mentioning actually touch on Issa V'Heter, touches on the very essence of the Torah itself, because they are inseparable. Because just as the man is inseparable, you cannot extract his soul from his body, so therefore are the two wisdoms which guide him. And therefore the Maral says, it's called a derech. Derech means a way. Tells the way a person must go. Then he asks the question, why is it called derech eretz? It should be called derech ha'olam. The way of the world. Why the way of the land? And on that he answers, because world encompasses the entire world. The sea, the deserts, the wilderness. This is not the way of the sea, of the desert, of the wilderness. Eretz means the yishuv, the society, places where people live. And man was placed here to be a social being, not a recluse or a hermit. And therefore it is referred to as Derech Eretz, the way a person must lead himself and conduct himself to behave that he is a member of the society of the world. And from here we have an insight into a Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin. The Gemara brings, it's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, and Daf Mem Amud Beis, called Shiyeshna B'mikra V'mishna V'derech Eretz Lebi Mehera Hucheta. Someone who has learned the written law, and he has learned Mishnah, and he conducts himself with Derech Eretz, then he is to be highly praised. He will not sin very quickly. But Kol She'ena Lebi Mikra V'lebi Mishna V'lebi Derech Eretz. But someone who has not studied the Bible or the Mishnah, and he does not conduct himself in the way of Derech Eretz, Eino Min HaYishuv. This is a person who is not from society. This, in other words, this is a person who's a wild person. He belongs in the wilderness, not in the society of men. What is the importance of this Derech Eretz? How much urgency and importance should one attach to this? And especially when we say it's the Chochma HaTachtena, we give it second place. It's the so-called lower wisdom, the wisdom of the lower worlds, not of the wisdom of the higher worlds. This, unfortunately, becomes a great error in the hands of the world today, and again, as mentioned, even in the hands of our own Jewish world. Let us see what the sages say on this. Sages tell us in the Medrash Tanchuma, states that where danger lurks, one should not walk. one should not go. Kodesh Baruch Hu told the Jews in Egypt, when he came through Egypt at midnight to smite the firstborn of the Egyptians, he said, no one should go out of his house because there is danger there. Where there's danger, sometimes even the innocent can be wiped away with it. And therefore the sages say that if someone is going out on a journey, since at night time there prevails many dangers outside of the cities, so one should wait for daybreak before he goes on to his journey. And we find even the great forefathers and the great prophets kept this Derech Eretz. As it states, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, Avraham was going to the great mitzvah to offer Yitzchok as a sacrifice, but he waited for daybreak. Vayashkim Yaakov Baboker, Jacob was going on his way to the house of Lavan. It states he waited for daybreak. So did we see with Shmuel, with Samuel, with Shaul, with King Saul, even though they were going on great mitzvahs, they waited for daybreak. If this was the practice of even the great forefathers and the prophets, that were going to fulfill the will of the Almighty, and still they kept to the discipline of the way of the world, then how much more so when it comes to everyone? And even though one might say, great people don't have to worry about the ways of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make miracles for them. We see this was not the case at all. Further, if we look into the Chumash, into the Bible, we see in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham, he went down to Egypt because there was a famine. When he returned, Vayelech Lamasov Minegev, he returned, he came up the same route, and he stayed over at the same lodging places. And the sages say, why is the Torah telling us this? Lindechot der Heretz, to teach us Derech Eretz, that when we stay at a place going someplace, we should stay at the same place when we return. The reasons given for this are two. Because if we change our lodging places, it can bring a bad name to that place, like we weren't satisfied with it. Or it might even bring a bad name to us, that maybe they didn't want us there anymore. And therefore, it is not their heretz, chokhmah, the wisdom of this world, decrees that one should stick to that same place. And Avraham guarded this jealously. Another example in Parshas Chayei Sarah, when Avraham came to the children of Chais for a burial plot for his wife Sarah, and he said, I want to speak to someone here. And they sent him the chief of the clan. And he said, Ish mimeno es kivra layichla mimcho. No one will withhold from you a burial place for your wife, Sora. Vayokom Avraham, Avraham stood up. Vayishtachu le'amoris livnei Chais. And he bowed all the way down to the ground to the Bnei Chais. Why is the Torah telling us this? Because this was good manners. This was courtesy. Gentlemen, when someone does something for you, you thank him. And this was the way they thanked people in those days. And then immediately afterwards, it states, they negotiated, and he said, I will give it to you. Vayishtachu Avraham lifnei Amoritz. And Avraham got up again. And he took a full bow to them to show his appreciation. And we find even more. Not only our great forefathers kept to this discipline of this wisdom, But the Almighty himself went out of the way to teach this to us. When he created the world, and he created man, the supreme being of the world, it states, Vayem Elokim, Nas Odom B'Tzalmenu Kid Musenu. And Hashem said, God said, let us make man in our image. What does it mean, let us make man? Who did he say this to? Only Almighty is the one who made man. So who's he speaking to? Let us make man. And the sages teach, in the Sonusei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamadnu Mikan. From here we see a lesson in humility. Lefi Sha'odam Bidmus Malochim. He's going to make man that will be like an angel. And the angels are going to have envy. Lefichoch Nimlach Alehem. Therefore, he took counsel with them in order to get them involved also. Naseh O'odom, Afalpi Shalei Sayu'uhu B'Yetzirosei. Even though they didn't help in the creation of man. And not only that, this was a very dangerous posuk. This sentence opened the doors for many atheists to bring a proof from here that there's more than one God, because he said, let us. And Yeshmokum Laminim Larades. And the Almighty knew that this is a dangerous sentence to write in the Torah. Leinimna Kosabil Lamederacheret. Still, he will not do away with this sentence in order to teach us a lesson in Derecheretz and Midas Hanova and in humility. Sheagodol Nimlach Venetel Rishus Min HaKotom. When you are working together with people and you're making an important decision, you must go and discuss it with others who are working with you, even if they are your subordinates, even if they're not as great as you, to show their heretz and humility. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did this in order to teach the world. So from here we would say that we're not dealing here with something which is to be taken lightly. If even our forefathers and our great prophets and Avraham and the Almighty himself, to carry on with further examples, there's a Gemara in Masechet Psochim. Hanu Tzei Talmidei Daviyas Mekamei D'Rav. There were two disciples, and they were learning by Rav, one of the great sages. And Rav had given a long shiur that day. It was a very difficult shiur. Chadoma Shasfinen Hashmeitzer Kedover Achem Misankin. One said that after that shiur, I am so beat, I am so tired, I am worn out like a dover acher mesankin. He mentioned a behemoth tamea. I am worn out like a tired donkey or horse or a tired pig. Chad omar, the other said, shafsinan haishmaitza kigdi mesankin. I am worn out from that shear like a tired goat. When Rav heard the discussion, Rav refused to speak any more to the disciple that referred to himself as a donkey or as a pig. Why? So Rabbeinu Chananel says, because lefi shediber al atzmoi genai, that he called himself a chazir, because he spoke with a lack of respect to in regards to himself. In other words, not only one must have their heritage towards others, but one must have also their heritage towards himself. Because to refer to a human being, to refer to God's creation as a horse or as a dog, this is a great insult to human dignity, and this is a breach of their heretz. And Rav foresaw in this Talmud, he made their heretz ein Torah, that the sages taught that without their heretz, without the basic wisdom, how can one go build a greater wisdom? And this we see also, this principle, this particular principle, the Rambam brings la halacha as the ruling law in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Edus. Someone who has not studied Chumash, he has not studied Mishnah, and he's not a person who conducts himself with Derech Eretz. Harezim Echeskes Rosho. Until proven otherwise, we assume he is a Rosho, he is an evil man. And therefore, Posel Le'edus Midivrehem, and the sages have disqualified him from giving testimony. She called me she yored ad kach, because anyone who has sunk that low, chazoka shu ever al reva verish yevoli odai, then we can safely assume that he will transgress many, many averus. The ficha kein meisrin edus la am oretz ve mekabel men edus alim kein huksuk shu eisig be mitzvah gemilas kasodim beneig bedarke yeshorim ve yesh bei derech eretz. Therefore, we do not choose witnesses, and we do not accept testimony from witnesses, unless the person is a learned person, or he's not a learned person, but he's a person that involves himself in mitzvahs, in chesed, in the path of uprightness, and he has derech eretz. Then we can accept testimony from him. To emphasize further how important this is, the Medrash Tana de Eliyahu writes, "Ki kodmo derech eretz leTorah." These two wisdoms that Hashem gave to the world, which wisdom did He give first? First, the wisdom of derech eretz, and then He gave the wisdom of the Torah. When Hashem placed the first man and woman in Gad Eden, in the Garden of Eden, to guard the derech, the road to the tree of life, that road refers to derech eretz. The tree of life refers to the Torah. First He taught them derech eretz, and only later Torah. Actually, then it goes a little further to say, first He taught derech eretz to the world, because we cannot come to a higher wisdom without a foundation of the fundamental and primary wisdom. Then He taught six mitzvahs to Adam, to the first man. Then He added another mitzvah to Noah, 10 generations later. And it was only in the time of Abraham did He give the Torah. Abraham started to study the Torah. That was 2,000 years later, 26 generations later. Well, 20 generations, and 26 generations later, six later, it was given at Sinai. So therefore the Chazal say, Kodma derech eretz alpaim shono, v'chod vov deres kedem l'Torah. Derech eretz was given to the world 2,000 years before Torah was given. And it had to be that way. Just like a child, when a child is first born and he slowly grows, you don't start teaching him the most sophisticated things in life. First he has to learn how to sit, then how to stand, then how to walk, then how to run. And he goes through many, many years of that before there is the foundation when he can come to Torah. And that was the way the world went. Many people think, you know, in Yiddish, all of you who remember your fathers and your zaydes will remember that two expressions, Zaya Mensch and Zay Nitkin Vilde Chaya. And this is what we're talking about. They coined it in two words. A Mensch is a Bal Derech Eretz, and a Vilde Chaya is Mishena B'Derech Eretz. Many think today that you can take a Vilna Chaya off the streets, and it's a mitzvah, put him in a yeshiva. They're going from the street to Torah. Yeah, and you'll make a rabbi out of them. The Rambam brings, again, la halacha. In other words, this is his ruling. In Perek Dalet, if he'll histam a Torah, ein melamdim Torah. You cannot teach Torah to anyone. Ela le talmud hogun. He has to be a beautiful person. No ebe maisov. He has to have beautiful ways and deeds before you're allowed to teach Torah to him. All the time. Someone that doesn't know much, but is a very good, sincere person. To him, it's a mitzvah to bring into the yeshiva and teach him Torah. But if he goes off the wrong ways, in other words, avil dechayah, machzirin aisei lemutav, umanhigin aisei bederech yeshora. So first you work on him to start walking the right path, and you see if you can make a mensch out of him. Ubeitkin aisei, and you keep an eye on him to see that he's developing. V'achakach machnisin aisei lebeis hamedrash. And only afterwards then do you bring him into the beis hamedrash, do you bring him into the yeshiva. Umelamdin aisei, and you teach him. Omru chachomim, the sages say, kol hashenet letalmid sheino hogun. Someone who teaches Torah to a person who is not befitting of Torah. Ki ilu zorak even lemakulis. It's like throwing stones. That was a way which they served the idolatry. And then he brings from Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, who said, Naisen leksil kovid. You don't give honor to a fool, to a tippish. And teaching Torah to such a person is the same as giving honor to such a person. The old Jews knew this by intuition. Eskin mentioned it. Was meret teremetim. You're talking Torah, Eskin mention it. First teach him how to be a mensch. Torah was given to a person, to a people. If he doesn't act like a person, how are you going to teach him Torah? First you have to teach him how to be a human being. And this is what our sages meant when they said, "Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah." If a person does not have the foundation of derech eretz, then there can be no Torah. On the other hand, "Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz." If a person only has a foundation of derech eretz and no Torah whatsoever, that's not bringing the world at all to the level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. Gave man a soul from a higher world also. There's another important principle in Derech Eretz, and that is that this way of conduct changes from place to place and from time to time. The Gemara brings in Bamatzia, Perek HaPoalim. It states, La'elam al yishana odom. Omar Reb Tamkin Bar Chanilai. La'elam al yishana odom in aminok. A person should never change the custom of the place. Shaharimesha olalam odom. Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, and there our sages say, the Torah says, le'ocha al lechem. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Why? Because he saw up there no one ate. He didn't want to change the custom of the place, therefore he didn't eat. Malachei Ashoris yodu lamato. The angels came down to this world to visit Abraham, when he was sick. And it states, Vayuchelu, they ate the ochru lechem. And even though angels don't eat, and our Gemara says, they didn't eat, but they made off like they were eating. Tesis brings a medrash where he says in Eliyahu Rabbah that they actually ate. because they didn't want to change the minhag hamokum, the way you do things. Now, we're not speaking here when it comes to halacha, that you come to one place and they do a practice, a Jewish practice, different than you. That's a different category in the Gemara totally, Leitis Geinadu. That also one has not changed. But here we're speaking about nimusin, we're speaking about etiquette, protocol. That if you come to a place and they have a certain way of doing things, what is expected and what is accepted, then you have to fit in with their ways, not they with you. And we see this. Moshe, it states, even risked his life for this. He refused to eat the whole time he was up receiving the Torah, because there they didn't eat there. And the angels, when they came down to our world, they say, everyone eats here, we also must eat here. And the Medrash Rabbah says on this in Parshas Vayera, Omar Berchano, Omar Reb Tanchuma Meshum, Reb Lezer, Reb Adam B'Shem Remeya, Mitla Omar. He says, this is the parable that people say, Alo Lekalta Haleich B'ni Musa. You come into a city, you follow their practices. Im Nichnasta Le'ir, Leich Kemin Hog. Follow their ways. We have in Masechta Derech Eretz, where it says, Al Tia Hayeshvim Bein HaOmdim, Al Tia HaOmdim Bein HaYoshvim. If you come to a place and everyone is standing, you should not sit. Everyone is sitting, you should not stand. The Derech Eretz covers many, many different facets, as we mentioned. For example, a way a person should posture himself and his image with other people, his human relationships. For example, his conduct with other people, his way of dressing, grooming himself, cleanliness, and so on. The Rambam elaborates in a number of places on this, but I will quote what he says in regards to a Chocham, a Talmud Chocham. Because contrary to the way many people think today publicly, a Talmud Chochem is not someone who becomes exempt from Derech Eretz, but the law is that he has to be more exemplary in Derech Eretz than other people. Rambam says as follows, Kishem Sha'achochem Niker Bechochmosei Ubedei Osef. Just like the wise man, one can tell who he is. He is distinguished because of his wisdom, and he excels from the rest of the nation because of his wisdom. So must he excel amongst the rest of the nation, from the rest of the nation, through his deeds, through the way he eats, through the way he drinks, through the way he speaks, through the way he walks, through the way he dresses, through the way he deals in business. And all of his deeds, ha'ele no'im u'mesuponim b'yeser, must be extremely beautiful and perfect. In regards, for example, he says, a Talmud Chochem should not be someone who yells and screams when he speaks, kibehema v'chayo, like a wilde chay. Lo yagbia kele b'yeser, he should not raise his voice too much. Ele dibure benachasim kol abriyos, when he speaks to people, he has to speak softly and kindly to them. When he speaks to them, he should speak in a manner that it doesn't show arrogance. Magdim sholem l'chol odom, he must be the first to give greetings to them, in order that they should feel close to him. Dones kol odom lekafskus, he must judge everyone with merit. Misap bishvach haveira velebignusei klal, he must always speak of others praiseworthy and not degradingly. Oev sholem v'reidiv sholem, he must love peace and pursue peace. If he sees people are doing things that are wrong, and he knows that if he'll tell them they will listen, Omer, then he must tell them. Vim lav, but if he knows they will not listen to him, Shesek, then he must be quiet. The Gemara says, Kesem shem mitzvah lomer dover anishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to say something to people that they will hear, that they will accept, so is it a mitzvah to keep silent when you know they will not accept your rebuke. Le'yushana b'divurei. He must be very careful never to change his word, where he is total integrity. Le'yesiv le'yigorei. He must not take away from the truth or exaggerate the truth. Ela b'divurei sholom, unless it's for the sake of peace. Klolei shel dover. The principle is, he should always be speaking in wisdom of Torah, or in mitzvahs, or in chesed. His walking should be in a manner which is not arrogant, but it should be in a manner, he should not, he should not run in the marketplaces like the Mishugoyim do. Ela, he should walk, when he walks in the marketplaces, he should walk like a person who is preoccupied with his busy schedule. From the way a person walks, you can also distinguish if he's a wise person or baldea, a person with seichel, or sheita with sochel, or if he's a fool. Malbush Talmud Chochem, the dress of a Talmud Chochem should be no'er v'noki, beautiful and clean. It is forbidden that on a garment of a Talmud Chochem there should be a spot of fat or a dirt. Leilbash le malbush malochim kigen bigdei zov argomon. He should not go around in royal garments. Shakol mistaklim bohem, that attracts attention from everyone. But then he should not go be malbush anim, in a poor man's clothes, that is an insult to the person. But begodim beinanim, but middle of the road clothing, noim, that are beautiful. Talmud Chochem mechalkel dvorim v'mishpot. He manages his finances properly. He eats and drinks, and he supports his household in accordance to his means. Tziva chachomim b'derech eretz. In general, the chachomim taught us in derech eretz that a person should always eat a little less than he can afford. He should always dress, he and his family, he should always dress in accordance to what he can afford. V'yechabed ishtay uvonov, and he should take care of his wife and children with more than he can afford. Maso yamatni shel talmid chacham be'emes emunah. He should conduct his business manners with utmost integrity. If it's no, it's no. If it's yes, it's yes. He should be medakte kalatz b'mecheshbon. When it comes to his obligations, he has to be exact. But when it comes to giving to others, he should give extra. When it comes to collecting from them, he should not be so exact. He should let them get away with a little less. When he buys something and he has the funds for it, he must pay immediately. He should be prepared to waive debts that others owe him that cannot pay. Even where one is allowed to open up for competition, But he should, Talmud Chacham must always be careful. He should never cause anguish to another person. The general principle that Rambam says, he should be not those who pursue others, but rather be from those who are pursued. He should not be those who insult others, but rather from those who are insulted. If one will conduct his life in this way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avodei ato Yisrael asher b'cho espa'er. Yisrael, you are my servants, which I take pride of in the world. As I mentioned before, I grew up with many of the Lithuanian Rosh Hashivas from the past generation. I can tell you that these are the standards that they strive for. And these were the standards that they strived to get out of their Talmidim, out of their disciples. And these were the great standards which they saw by their mentors. I'd like to quote here a story from Reb Baruch Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Baal Torah Tamima, the son of the great Orach HaShulchan. He was a nephew to the Netziv, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Berlin, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in the 1800s of the great Volozhin Yeshiva. Volozhin Yeshiva was the forerunner of the Lithuanian yeshivas that we knew of. And he spent some time in Volozhin Yeshiva as a young boy under the guidance of his uncle. He writes over a story that he used to help his uncle in his office. And one day his uncle asked him, do you think you could address an envelope? And he said, of course. His uncle said, I'm not so sure, but give it a try. He gave me an envelope to address to a Rav Dr. S. Schubacher, Odessa, at such and such an address. I asked him, what province is Odessa in? Odessa is in Kherson province, my uncle replied. But why is that important now? She says, of course it's important, I answered. Because without the province, the address is incomplete. His uncle said, you see, I was right. I told you I wasn't sure you knew how to write an address. Knowing how to address a letter is more than just knowing how to pen letters and words. One must always write in the simplest, briefest manner possible. There is no law requiring the province to be included in an address. The city of Odessa is better known than the province in which it is located. Therefore, there is no need to write the province. But I was stubborn, Mr. Baruch Epstein writes. And I said, after all, adding the province certainly could do no harm, I persisted. Ah, my uncle replied, the only harm that can happen is that the postal clerk in Volozhin or in some other city all the way to Odessa and Odessa itself will take a look at the letter and have a good laugh at the writer's expense. What kind of writer is this? They will think that has to tell us where Odessa is. Seeing that my uncle was in a playful mood and allowed himself to get drawn into an everyday conversation, so I tried to press my luck further and I said, what's so terrible if they laugh? That did it. The demeanor of my uncle changed dramatically. The soft, easygoing manner of speech was replaced with hard words of reproof. He spoke to me harshly with every word meant to penetrate deep into my soul. Taking a pause between each and every word in order to let each one sink in, he exclaimed, a man who does not worry that people will laugh at him is lacking the feeling of human dignity. According to the halacha, he is disqualified from giving testimony. I was anguished and shocked at the message. And I asked him, what does all this have to do with being disqualified from giving testimony? Instead of answering me, he quickly stretched out his hand into a pile of books that crowded his table, took one, flipped a few pages, and pointed to a place with his finger and asked me to read what was written. It was the Shulchan Aruch Heshen Mishpot. It said, people who are not particular about their own shame are disqualified from giving testimony. The commentaries explain that since such a person has no self-respect, we cannot be sure he will be deterred from perjuring himself by the public shame and embarrassment of being found out of such a crime. He then showed me the words of the Beis Yosef and the laws of Tisha B'Av. In the name of the Hagos Maimonides, one is permitted to wear leather shoes in streets where non-Jews pass. The reason, explains the Beis Yosef, is so that pagans will not laugh at us for going barefoot. Then, seeing how upset I became, he seemed to regret his behavior, realizing my words were those of a child. He tried to calm me down and also teach me a lesson in Derech Eretz, to sow some seed in my young brain that would provide a harvest of fruits at my maturity. He took my hand, and with a gentle, loving voice, he said, "You are still a child, but when you grow up and live amongst men, you will understand how low and disgusting it is to degrade oneself. To our great misfortune, this trait has become implanted in too many of our people. Besides lowering the honor of our nation as a whole, and themselves in particular, they degrade the honor of heaven. For God has created man in his own image, and he has great regard for the dignity of his creatures." The Gemara in Chagiga expresses this even further, of how careful the person has to be with his dignity or someone else's dignity. It states in Keheles at the end, "Ki es kol ma'isa l'kim yoveh b'mishpot al kol nela." HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us on everything that we do, and even that what is concealed. Rabbi Yechanan, the great Rabbi Yechanan, Havakobochi, he used to weep when he would come to this passage and say how difficult it is to fulfill the Torah when the Almighty will judge us even on that what is concealed to us. The Gemara asks, what is something that is concealed? The Gemara gives an example. That's where you caused anguish to someone and you weren't aware of it. For example, Ahere kino bifnei chaveru v'nimaspo. If a person killed a bug in the presence of another person and this was repugnant to the other person. Another example the Gemara gives, Zeharok bifnei chaveru v'nimaspo. If someone spat and it was in the presence of another person, and this is repugnant to him. This a person will have to pay for, because he was not careful with the dignity of another human being. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Ksubos, "La'olam te'odam daitom u'revis in abrios." A person has to be a caring human being. He has to uplift the dignity of another person. When he sees someone, he should lend an ear to his problems. He should interest himself in the other person. He should not seclude himself. And he should compliment him to lift him up. The one says, what happens if you haven't got anything to compliment him with? He says, find something. For example, Ketzan Meraktin Lifnei Akala. What should one say? The great mitzvah of Simchas Chosen V'Kala is to give praise to the Chosen and the Kala. To praise the Kala in the eyes of the Chosen. What should one say? Beisilo said, Kala Nova Chasuda. You tell the Chosen what a beautiful and lovely Kala he has chosen. Beis Shammai says, what happens if she's not so beautiful? What happens if she's a cripple? Midvar sheker tirchok. The Torah says that you're not allowed to say a lie. Beis Hillel says, no. You don't praise her in accordance to your eyes, in accordance to the Chosen's eyes. If someone buys a new suit and he likes it, evidently he found it beautiful, so you tell him it's a beautiful suit. If someone chooses a color, he must see beauty in her. You must come down to him and look at the world through his eyes and uplift that and compliment. And that's what the Gemara says, Havidaitam Ureves Im Habriyos. Do not live in your own world, but you must be a social being. You must share your world with his world and his world with yours. This is what the Gemara teaches us in Derech Eretz. It tells the Rosh Yeshivas, strive for all of these standards. The fact is, Rebbe Yemeir Broch, this was the son of the great Telzer Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, who re-established the yeshiva in Cleveland, Ohio. Remodel, his brother-in-law, once said on him, the way the Rebbe Yemeir used to dress every day, people sometimes would ask him, what is the yontifite? What kind of yontif is today? He says, why? The way you're dressed. This is the way he would go dressed every day. If whoever he saw, he would greet him. If he would see a Talmud and the Talmud wouldn't say good morning to him, would he get a rebuke, a lesson in Derech Eretz? Someone once told me, a roommate of mine became engaged and he brought his collar to meet Rebbe Yemeir. He said Rebbe Yemeir took a full bow. He was a European. A full bow. They were impeccable in the way they dressed, in the way they groomed themselves, in their cleanliness, in the way they walked, in their dealings with people, in their mixing with people, in their pursuit of shalom. They went to enormous extremes not to destabilize a community, not to break apart a community, but to unite a community. The fact is, it was well known when they came to Cleveland, they built a school for the community and they sent their own children to that school. And there was years and years that there was argument, challenges, that the community's children are far behind our children. We must build a school for our own children. And the old Rosh Yeshivas would never allow it. To split a community, they would never allow it. Such a thing only happened after they left this world. And they were very demanding on all of this from their Talmidim. The fact is, even when it came to wearing tzitzis outside, they used to tell the Talmidim, it's not such a mitzvah, but if you do insist, make sure it's done with a perfect neatness, so you will not be a chil Hashem, you will not desecrate the name of Hashem. I'd like to quote here again Rabbi Hepstein with another story. When he was a young boy, again in Voloshin, and he studied very hard, and his uncle saw that he was becoming worn down, he sent him to Vilna for a holiday. He said, rest up for a month or two. When he was in Vilna, this was a city, this was in the 1800s, late 1800s. So it's a city of many Bote Midroshim. He looked for a place where he would be his so-called headquarters. He'd go there and learn a couple hours every day. He chose the old Beis HaMedrash in the Vilna Gaon. And he liked it very much because many important people would come through. And he had a few haverim, and for young boys this was a great experience. He writes here that one day, I remember one particular incident that left a deep impression on me, when suddenly an old distinguished looking man walked in wearing immaculate rabbinical garb without a spot or a wrinkle. His whole bearing exuded complete order and cleanliness. He literally sparkled from head to toe. It was truly a pleasure to look at him. His facial expression mirrored his uniform. He had a shining face and a perfectly combed hair. Obviously, he was a very important, highly regarded individual. And then he tells the shamans came over, and everybody was, they could see, was an important person. And then the shamans brought him over a bundle of manuscripts, which later on he found out were manuscripts from the Vilna Gaon. The distinguished guest, who had swept away any particle of dust from the bench before sitting down, took a lustrous silk yarmulke from his pocket, took off his hat, placed the yarmulke on his head, and began to study the manuscripts intensely. We had never before witnessed this kind of greeting given to a stranger by a shamash, and began to see that the man before us was indeed extraordinary. And then people started to come, and the elders came and talked to him. So finally they asked, who is this person? This was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter was the great Gaon and the great founder of the Musar movement. Today there are many believe that the Musar movement was someone that they would go around in rags. This was not so. Their information is totally incorrect. The other day last year I met a man who learned and studied in Kelm in the Cheder. He was an old man in his 80s, here in South Africa. Kelm was the city where Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's famous Talmud of Simchas Yisrael went and established there the great Talmud Torah, a Musi Yeshiva. So I asked him if he ever learned in that Talmud Torah. He says, no, he was in the Cheder. I said, was Simchas Yisrael still alive? No, he wasn't alive, but his disciple was alive, and his disciple was the one who ran the yeshiva. I said, were there a lot of Talmidim? Oh, yes. And he says, you know how they looked? He says, everyone looked like the late Chief Rabbi Casper. This is what he told me. Those of you who remember the late Chief Rabbi Casper, he walked around like an international British diplomat. He says, everyone looked like the late Chief Rabbi Casper. This is one story. I've heard thousands of such stories. This is the way a Baal Musa looked. The fact is that the late Rabbi Avraham Chaim Lampin told me that Slobodka, Yeshiva, there was the altar. The altar was a Baal Musa. They were the cream when it came to bearing. They walked down the streets as a prince. There was another Jew, Pitoria, an old Jew, he's well into his 80s. He studied in the Telz Yeshiva, and he came there as a young boy in the Cheder, and he went almost all the way through the whole Yeshiva. He told me that when you hung up your coat in the coat room, if it was missing a button, the Mashgiach would come along, and he would confiscate the coat, and he wouldn't give it back to you until you an undertaking that immediately that button will be sewed on. Let me read you this. There was what was known as the famous Lomji Yeshiva. And there was the Rosh Yeshiva was the famous Rabbi Gordon. This is not the Rabbi Blazer Gordon from Telz, this is another Rabbi Gordon. I came to understand why Rabbi Gordon of blessed memory was called the Prince of Rosh Yeshivas. This is what a student is writing on him. He treated every yeshiva youth as a prince. Whenever young men of his yeshiva went out, people stopped to look at them, so impressive they were in appearance. Everything about them bespoke dignity. The Rosh Yeshiva always saw to it that his proteges were well-dressed, even though the financial situation of the yeshiva was in difficulty. Another area in Derech Eretz. Another area in Derech Eretz. Is brought how a person should eat. If we remember our grandparents, it was very common when they told the person, "Vekumpnish to the tish hazer." You don't come to the table like this. Today, someone once said that eating is just the same as a petrol station, a filling station, fast foods. You fill up the car. The Gemara tells us, "Shulchan shel Adam kimizbeach is mechaper." That the table of the person, this is a whole service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come to a table properly. What you eat is proper. How you eat is proper. You prepare yourself properly. I recall one of the greatest adjustments that the Tel Zer Rosh Yeshiva had to make in America was when the Bochrim would drink Pepsi Cola out of the bottles. They used to say, "We drink from a fleshel, a shikah drink from a fleshel." "We drink from a bottle, a shikah, he drinks from the bottle." This was a great adjustment they had to make to the American scene. Another important, very important area is a person's conduct with his parents, his wife, brothers, sisters, his children. The first principle that the sages tell us, and this is something which is so important today. What is the first principle of building a Jewish home? This one will tell you about kashrus. This one will tell you Shabbos. This one will tell you a very, very good expensive mezuzah. And so on and so on. You're missing the point totally. First principle in building what is known as a Jewish home is that there should be shalom bayis. There should be peace in the home, and there should not be machlekes. Rambam brings in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Dalet, if a person was poor and he has enough money just for one candle, and it's Shabbos and it's Chanukah, what should he do? Spend it for a Chanukah candle or for a Shabbos candle? Or if it's not Chanukah, but he has enough money to buy some wine for Kiddush, or a candle for Shabbos. Rambam quotes the Gemara, and then he adds a little of his own. He says, "Ner beisei kodem." First comes the Shabbos candle. Mishum shalom beisei, because that represents the peace of the house. Shaharei Hashem nimchat lasei shalom einish leishtoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to erase his own name. This is a prime desecration, aleisas in the Torah, in order to bring peace between man and his wife. Godel ha-shalom, so great is peace, shekol ha-Torah nitna la'asei shalom ba'elam. The entire Torah was given merely to bring peace to the world. As it states, v'rocheho darchei no'am, v'chol nesiveseho shalom. Its ways are ways of pleasantness and of peace. Of course the kashrus is important. Of course the mezuzah is important. But without a foundation of shalom, it will all collapse. After there's shalom, then we can start talking about the other things. The Gemara brings in Bamatzia Nuntes, Omar Am Le'elam Yodam Zoya Beinos Ishtai. A person has to be very, very careful not to cause anguish to his wife. Because she is close to tears. And Omer Abchelbe Leilam Yeodam Zoybek Feirishte Shein Brocha Mitzuya Besek Beisi Shalotam. Brocha comes to a person home through his wife. As it states that Abraham became wealthy because of Sarah. Rava told the townspeople of his city, Okira l'neshaycho, give honor to your wives, ki heged disasre, in order that you will become wealthy. The Rambam writes, he says, Siva hachomim, my sages have commanded, a person has to honor his wife more than he honors himself. He has to love his wife like himself. If he has a lot of money, then he must share it. Let her benefit from it. He should not place over his wife, cast a fear over her. And he should always speak to her kindly and softly. He should not be depressed in her presence, or a person who is always angry. And so did our sages command that a woman must honor her husband to great degrees, and she should have the greatest respect for him, and she should try to do everything which she desires, and he should be in her eyes like a sar, a melech, like a prince or a king, and she should try to fulfill his wishes and to distance from him what he does not like. And ze derech benosh Yisrael ubenei Yisrael hakadoshim v'hatohorim bezivugan. These are the ways of the sons of Israel and the daughters of Israel who bring sanctity and purity in their marriages. Ubedrochim elu yia yeshuva noya umeshubach. And in these ways, their homes will be beautiful and peaceful and praiseworthy. This is the foundation of what is known as a Bayis Godel b'Yisrael, a great home in Israel. The fact is, the Vilna Gaon wrote a famous letter to his household, in which he tells them to do many, many things. He was on a trip to Israel. He was going to Eretz Israel at that time, which never really developed. And the main thing he brings in that letter over and over again, see that there is shalom in the house. Do not allow machlekes to creep into the house. See that there is not these things that bring machlekes into the house. Anger, lashon hara, sheker, rechilus, quarreling, lack of respect. And he writes something very interesting. He says, you must teach the children this. And then all of the time he says, when you teach the children, you must teach them in a soft manner. Teach them Torah. Don't force them. Bribe them. Offer them nice food. Offer them nice games. Offer them money. And so on. But when it comes to this, he says, when the children, if they quarrel, if they swear, if they tell lies to each other, if they say lashon hara, if they do not respect their elders or their older brother or older sister, or call me she godel bimenu bishonim, or anyone that's older than them, he says al terachem aleihem, don't have rachmanis on them. Take osam, he says, hit them, discipline them. Do not have rachmonis on them, because otherwise, it says, Shlema Melech, King Solomon says, Chanei chanar al pidarkai, gam ki yaskin lo yoser bimenu. A child will grow up the way you bring him up. And if you will overlook this, you are training him to be a malbal machlekes. You are training him to be a disrespective, quarrelsome individual, and this is not a laughing matter. Because this is what the role he'll play in his home, with his wife, with his children, and with society. And
Gaon on everything else, he didn't emphasize that much. This is what he keeps emphasizing over and over again. This, ladies and gentlemen, are some of the points of what is known as Der Chiretz, a foundation to teach a person how to walk through this world, in order that he can build on that foundation a greater level of wisdom, and then he can come to the level of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.